Hello, I'm Rebecca Rosewood, and this is Thrice Cursed. Warning, Thrice Cursed is a true crime and paranormal podcast. It is intended for mature audiences. Some graphic depictions of violence and other unpleasant material may exist beyond this point. For more specific content warnings, please reference the episode notes. Hello, beautiful, or handsome, if you'd prefer. Today, I am joined by the lovely Kayla from A Little Wicked Podcast, who's going to tell you all about the lady in the dunes. She's truly saving my butt while I deal with some health stuff and some life stuff and a little bit of everything. Oh, and just in case you're thinking, I cannot handle this whisper talking for an entire episode. Don't worry, it's just the intro. I'm recording my intro while Luke is sleeping because I forgot that I needed one. I speak normally throughout the rest of the episode, I promise. So please, sit back and enjoy this somewhat collaborative project. And I say somewhat because it's mostly Kayla being a freaking hero and telling us all the story because I suck. Basically, I've been house hunting and job hunting simultaneously, and my mental bandwidth for writing is pretty much non-existent at the moment. For a general idea, I've been working on one script for probably 2 months, have rewritten it more times than I can count, and still hate every part of what I've written. All of this to say, it takes a lot of work to be such a hot mess. But this episode is a short one and a good one, and definitely more in line with my OG co-host style that some of you truly loved. Enjoy!
All right, so today I have Kayla from A Little Wicked on to tell me a story. I have no idea what she's going to be telling me either, so this is going to be very fun.
I'm excited. This is one I haven't done yet. I was going to do one I have done in a past episode, but I could not find the printed one. So here's one we haven't done before.
Ooh, exciting. Yay. I'm nervous, but this is good.
This one is called The Lady in the Dunes. So on July 26, 1974, Leslie Metcalf, a 12-year-old girl, was enjoying the nice summer day in Cape Cod, Massachusetts with her family and their dog. They were hiking along Race Point Beach when suddenly their dog started barking and ran off. Leslie, of course, started running after him, and they both stopped when they came across a body that was off in the dunes, about 15 feet away from the access road and about 1 mile from the nearest ranger station. The family then called the police to come check it out. The body was a nude woman who was found laying face down on one side of the beach towel, as if making room for somebody who was like laying next to her. And then, and she was 5 foot, 6.5 inches tall, 145 pounds, and she had auburn hair with an athletic build. She was estimated to be between 20 and 40 years old, and she was dead between 10 days and 3 weeks. Her head was laying on a folded pair of Wrangler blue jeans and a blue bandana. She appeared to be strangled, but had no signs of struggle, pointing that she may have known her killer. A little warning, there is a mention of sexual assault, just to be prepared. She was sexually assaulted post-mortem with a wooden block. The left side of her skull was crushed in by what may have been a military entrenching tool. So kind of like a... Was that a cat?
Yeah, my cats are fighting behind me and I'm like trying not to laugh. There's just...
I just feel like out of the corner like this big block.
Yeah, so behind me I have there's an entire wall of windows behind me, and so to prevent some of that echo, there's like a curtain here, so I pull the curtain closed so that the window is not there. But then one of my cats, Astara, who's an asshole, decided to go behind the curtain and is attacking my other cat who's on this side of the curtain, so they're just over here fighting and I'm just hearing a little like
like ambiance,
and you're talking and I'm like okay, I need to just straight face it, but then I'm hearing Astara's bell jingling and I'm like, I'm gonna have to edit all of this out. I'm so sorry.
Alrighty. It's all right. It's fun. I just see a big blob. Just
oh, cat out of nowhere.
Ah, oh, Suenya.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Is there anywhere you want me to restart at?
God, when did I start laughing?
I could just start back at, like, kind of the beginning where the body was found, if that's easier.
But that might be a good way to go.
Alrighty.
So the body was a nude woman who was found laying face down on one side of the beach towel as if making room for somebody who was next to her. She was 5'6½" tall, 145 pounds, and she had auburn hair with an athletic build. She was estimated to be between 20 and 40 years old, and she was dead for between 10 days and 3 weeks. So kind of a big span there on both ends.
Yeah. Now, quick question. Is this case solved or unsolved?
It's unsolved.
Do you have any theories?
There's a couple theories at the end, but I'm not sure, like, which one to go with.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Her head was laying on a folded pair of Wrangler blue jeans and a blue bandana. She appeared to be strangled, but no signs of struggle, pointing that she may have known her killer. She was sexually assaulted post-mortem with a wooden block. The left side of her skull was crushed in by what may have been a military entrenching tool. So it's just like a very pointed shovel. I had to like Google image it because I had a picture in my head, but it's just a very sharp shovel. But this caused her to be nearly decapitated. A weapon was not found on the scene, but they assumed it like because that's what it looked like. But size 10 footprints were found in a pattern that looked like they ran away and were created by a heavier person. So I took this as this may be like a muscular or an athletic person as well. What's interesting, though, is her hands were missing, so they couldn't identify her.
What the hell?
And being that her head was crushed in, I don't think they could identify, like, outwardly her appearance either.
Yeah, facial structures. That's dark.
Yeah. I can also send you, I have pictures of, like, her construction and stuff that I can email you as well, so you can see.
Her construction?
Like, the computer generalized, like, what she may have looked like.
Oh, okay. Cool. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Chief Jimmy Meads of the Provincetown Police said that the killer most likely drove to this location using a four-wheel drive sand vehicle with the victim so she can sunbathe. The only physical way they could attempt to identify her were through dental records. She had a very particular dental history. Her dental work was called, quote, New York style. But it's unknown to what that even means. I tried looking it up and a lot of people just said, like, it basically means she had, like, expensive teeth.
I mean, but for today, that really means nothing. Like, anybody who goes to the dentist now has expensive teeth. I know. All right.
Yeah, nothing specific was said. I don't know. Maybe she had, like, extensive work done that maybe only people who could afford it could get is kind of what I took that as.
Yeah, like, maybe, when was this again? When did this take place?
1974.
Okay, so back then, I guess people didn't really have that focus on straight teeth.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like her teeth were straightened and that sort of.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I don't know. I know nothing.
Yeah, because like I like think about like today, like everybody has braces. Like I had them for like 7 years. Like every other kid has braces. Whereas back then, I don't think it was as common.
Yeah.
She had very expensive work done that would cost somewhere in the thousands of dollars range that included multiple gold crowns. Copies of these records were sent to dentists all over Massachusetts. They were printed in 2 dental magazines and they were sent to the FBI. But nobody came forward about the records, which is pretty interesting since it's very specific teeth.
That is really weird.
They then started looking through missing persons cases. Again, nothing matched her description. They checked local hotels and other lodging registrations to see if anybody was missing, but again, nothing came of that. So they checked vehicle permits for people to drive on the beach, and once again, nothing came of it. This was a very tight-knit community, so it was considered odd that nobody was able to identify her. So that just shows that she probably wasn't around this area. She might have just been a tourist because it's a beach town.
Mm-hmm.
Her body would end up being buried in St. Peter Cemetery in October 1974. So her body was exhumed in 1980, and they used the CT machine to help create a mold of her skull to get an approximation mold of what she may have looked like. They sent photos around the country, hoping someone would come forward, but to no avail. One woman from Maryland did come forward saying it did look similar to her daughter who had recently moved to Boston and disappeared, but that came up inconclusive. In 1987, another woman from Canada said that the woman looked like someone her father strangled while visiting in Provincetown.
How would you but know when, that?
Yeah, like, but whenever the police wanted to corroborate her story, she moved away and wasn't heard from again. She's probably like, oh, I said too much, and just, like, that's, skedaddled.
Who the fuck just casually drops that, oh, yeah, that chick looks like some girl my dad what?
Like, that's, like, normally it's like, oh, my dad might have dated her. No, he, like, murdered her. And yeah. I don't know who she was.
My fiance sitting playing his game and he heard me say that and he's just like, the face of me. He's just like, I'm uncomfortable.
He's like, this one from like 0 to 60.
Yeah, he's usually not in the room when I record. So this is a fun time for me.
So during the 1980s, a psychic contacted Jimmy Meads saying that the victim was a Canadian nurse that was named either Carolyn or Marilyn O'Leary. Nothing came of that. Then someone else came forward saying that they thought she was a missing person named Carolyn O'Leary, who was a missing American nurse. So as it turns out, that Carolyn was found alive. So the psychic was wrong. Police were once again at a loss.
I'm so surprised the psychic was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I have mixed emotions. Like, I think, like, you can, like, be psychic and stuff, but, like, if you're going to, like, nib nose on a case, like, you better be 100% confident in yourself.
Even like, if you're not, like, 100% confident in yourself, like, at least be legitimate about it, you know? Like, the people who are just like, I just want to get involved, like the TikTok psychics with Gabby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't even, like, look at those because I didn't look much, like, into the social media of Gabby Petito because I knew I'd get pissed.
Oh, it was, yeah, it, I got myself involved in, like, yelling at people on the internet. It was not a fun time.
Yeah. Where was I? I lost my space.
Sorry, I'm just distracting.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. I usually mark it, but I don't know where my pen went. Police were once again at a loss. Her body was exhumed in 2000 for DNA testing from a bone fragment for a potential lead, which was inconclusive. Retested again in 2002, again, was negative for that suspect. She was again exhumed in 2013 for more DNA to be taken, and nothing came of it. So at this point, she's been exhumed like 3 times for blood and other samples. And at that point, police had just kept her skull, ribs, her left and right scapula, a tissue sample from her leg, and hair sample. So they had all of this DNA and nothing. Nobody came forward.
Wow.
So let's get into the theories. Theory number one. So this theory comes from Joe Hill's Tumblr. He is Stephen King's son. So, of course, he has to probably come up with something crazy.
Of course.
Runs in the family. He noticed one day, as he was watching Jaws, there was a person walking in the background as an extra that looked like the pictures of the Lady of the Dunes. And I have, like, a comparison photo of, like, the computer-generized one and this person he thought she was.
Okay.
And it looks very, like, spot on.
Huh.
She was even wearing the blue bandana and had Wrangler jeans on. The movie was being filmed in that area during 1974, so his theory was becoming plausible. So a reporter got a hold of this theory and had contacted Universal to see if they had a record of the extras in that movie, but they didn't. And the casting director had died by that time, so they couldn't get any other information. I think back then, like, if you're recording a movie, like, it's very open. So you have so many extras just floating in and out. They can't keep track of, like, the millions of people.
Yeah, I mean, back then they didn't really bother. If you weren't in a union, who cared? If unions even existed back then.
Yeah. There are a few ways that this can be explained away. So the most common, like, obvious one is that every woman in the 70s wore bandanas and jeans.
Yeah.
especially on the beach. It's just the style. It's just bandanas and jeans. You throw a rock, you hit 5 of them.
That is true.
She could have also just jumped into the movie set, so there might not even be a record of her. So, like, so back then, security wasn't as tight. They probably didn't expect the movie to blow up like it did. So if you're walking along the beach, you're like, oh, cool, they're shooting a movie over there. I better, like, jump this gate and get in there.
Yeah.
That could have just been what happened. So this could have all just been a coincidence. And this theory can neither be proven nor disproven, but it's kind of fun to discuss and think about. Theory number two. It's possible that she may be a victim of Irish mobster James Whitey Bulger. Now, this guy, I need to do a whole episode on because there's a whole spiel about this guy.
Don't you love when you're researching an episode and you're like, wait, I need to take note of this so I can do a future episode on it. And you get like five of them in one episode. And soon you're like, yes. What am I doing?
My ADHD takes me down 10 rabbit holes and I can't find my way out.
Absolutely. Every time.
Yes. He was the boss of the Irish mob in Boston from the 70s through the 90s. And he has a history of being violent and committing 11 murders, which is one of the reasons he was put into jail. Whitey himself is an interesting character that may have his own episode later, as I said. He may have been part of the LSD experiment from the CIA. He has FBI protection. He was arrested at 14 for gang activity, and he was beaten to death in prison while in his 80s. There's just a lot of things in his life that later episode. This theory started in 2015 when a woman named Sandra Lee suggested he may have done it. He was a friend of her family, and she's known him to commit murders and states that she saw the body first when she was 9 on the morning of July 26th, the day that she was found. Sandra said that this murder resembled one of his known murders, the death of Deborah Davis. Deborah was strangled and was found to be missing her teeth, and she was found along a shoreline. So there's a lot of correlation there.
Yeah, but this one wasn't missing her teeth.
Yeah, so like she had her skull bashed in, but she still had her teeth, but she was also missing her hands. I don't know if he had like the same MO for each murder or if it was like similar.
Okay.
I haven't looked much into his victims yet. She remembers seeing Whitey in town during the time frame of the murder. So this theory has better probability, but again, can neither be proven nor disproven. But I feel like this one does have some traction since she's like, hey, I know a mobster. He does crap like this. That's just who Whitey is as a person. But
that's a lovely description. That's just who this person is. Yeah.
It's just who he is. He just vibes that way.
Yikes.
Theory number three. In 2004, serial killer Haddon Clark had come forward about being her killer. His story claims that he lured the woman into the dunes and beat her in the head with a fishing rod, then removed her hands and used her fingers as fishing bait and buried her hands in his grandfather's garden, but he refused to tell them the identity of the woman. His previous murders did not have that MO, and all of the details he gave were just common knowledge that were seen in like newspapers that he would have access to.
It's really disappointing that they released the information about her hands being missing.
Yeah.
Because if that hadn't been released and somebody was like, yeah, I turned her fingers into fishing bait, which gross. But like then you'd have your person, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they should just like do like the basic, this body was found, and like no other details should ever be made, because that just gives people like this guy.
Yeah, aside from here's what she looked like or whatever, or we were unable to just determine any other features aside from height, weight, and dental records. Yeah. Like
anything else can like just be filled in with like whatever people see. And that's when you get copycats like this who just want credit for it. But he was also a paranoid schizophrenic who had repeatedly falsely confessed to other murders, so his confession was dismissed. So this theory is just null and void. So that's another reason to like keep things under wraps, is like he probably can't help but to confess because he probably does think he did it.
Yep.
And the final theory, which I kind of like this one. So this theory is that she may have been a criminal named Rory Jean Kessinger, who closely resembled the picture of the Lady of the Dunes. Rory was known as a bank robber, drug dealer, and she had tried to kill police officers, once in a hospital with the officer's own gun. She had been arrested and placed in Plymouth County Jail, which is only a few hours from the scene of the crime. She had managed to escape from jail by sawing the bars of her cell and tying bedsheets together. So, like, the oldest thing you can imagine when thinking of a prison break.
How do you even get away with that?
People like you get saws, people can like make bombs in prison and escape. I have no idea. I don't even want to think of how those get in there. Wow. It was thought that her hands were removed so that no one could identify her, knowing that she was criminal. In the late 90s, her mother had given DNA to see if it was her daughter, which was part of the exhumations from 2000 and 2002, but both were negative. So that does kill this theory, but Rory has never been found since her escape. So that's not to say like she Maybe it was a fluke, or maybe she's just that good and escaped.
Wow.
So to this day, the identity of the Lady of the Dunes has never been figured out, and it remains a cold case.
So I have to wonder, because nobody came forward about her dental records, despite them being so distinct, it almost makes me wonder if it was a, like this, and this is totally wild, but what if she got into a relationship with her dentist and they were having a day on the beach and he killed her? And that's why he didn't come forward with the dental records, because that would give him away.
I don't discredit that. I mean, nothing's impossible.
I mean, it's ridiculous, and we have no...
Maybe that's how they met.
Anything other than maybe a dentist didn't see this, but...
Maybe that's how they met. She was like, I better get my teeth done. And then she's like, oh, this dentist is fine. And then they went to the beach. Who knows?
I will never go to a attractive dentist because it's just against every urge that I have. It's just like... I want the person who is taking care of my teeth to either be an somewhat elderly female or an older dude, so that when you judge me, it feels normal. Yeah, you know,
I'm used to the older generation judging, so that's fine.
Yeah, as opposed to you're like a more, so you're my age but more successful and prettier than me, and you're doing my dental work.
What wrong turn did I make in life? No.
All of them. Wrong turns. Everyone. Also, The Wrong Turn's a really terrifying movie.
It's been a minute since I've seen that.
I used to run around the house chasing my older sister, laughing, like that high-pitched, creepy laugh. And she was terrified of it. Sorry, cat. She's not happy. And then you can see, so here's...
Oh, she's big mad.
Yeah, and then there's... The assholes right there. Boop.
Oh my gosh, we had a cat come in last night. I might have to send the picture to the group chat. It's an Oriental, so like the big Dobby ears.
Cute.
And she's only 6 months old.
Oh, that's adorable.
But yeah, that's the Lady in the Dunes.
Is there any more research being done into that, or any way people could help?
Not that I know of. I think I made a Google alert for her, but like, nothing's come up. Like, I think they just kept it as a cold case. Like, they have so much DNA, and unless somebody comes forward with something useful, there's not really much else that they can do.
Yeah. It reminds me, there's this case that has fascinated me. I discovered it like a year after it happened, but it was out here in California. There was a woman discovered in the vineyards in I think it was in Kern County, because a lot of people end up murdered and missing out there. But her head, like her entire head, was removed. And then both of her thumbs, I think, were removed, which, you know, usually
very specific
when you do identification for certain things, they'll take your thumb if it's not like a criminal identification. And so the only information they have to go off of is that she was light skinned and had a scar from a C-section. That is it.
That's like probably 80% of America. Like, that's nothing.
Yeah, there's been some movement with it since, I want to say, 2021. People have started looking into it. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I think genealogy is going to solve these too.
I hope so. Like, this woman, like, it's obvious that she knew whoever killed her, because... Who else are you going to, like, turn your back on and, like, go to, like, a secluded place with? But what kind of baffles me is that she was only a mile from a ranger station and 15 feet off a trail, and she's been there well over a week. I don't know how, like, nobody else noticed her.
What month was she found in?
July. So, like, primetime beach season.
Wow, yeah. I was, like, for some reason in my head I had it that it was, like, early spring, late winter. Mm-mm. And I'm like, that makes sense that she's but July
primetime beach season, where you think like a lot of beachgoers would see her. Maybe they thought she was still laying out. If you don't notice her hands are missing, I don't know.
I feel like it would be really difficult, based on the description you have given me, to not notice something was off.
Mm-hmm.
And people at least as far as I'm aware, I wasn't alive back then, but as far as I'm aware, people were more observant of their surroundings and of other people and less self-involved. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like somebody would have noticed. That's just wild. And Kayla over here, for those of you who are just listening and obviously can't see us, Kayla and I are on video chat. She's just watching me, like my brain just break. It's fine.
Sorry, usually Lexi's watched me like have like buffering screens as I'm trying to like get my thoughts in order.
I have to script every single word of every episode that I do or my mind just falls apart. So
I do too. That's what I was finishing up today with because we're recording later with Lexi.
All right. Well, Kayla, this has been so fun. Thank you. Tell my listeners. Yes. Tell my listeners where they can find you.
So you can find me on Twitter at A Little Wicked Pod. You can go to our Instagram, Little Wicked Podcast. We have a Facebook as well that we just made a group for that you can discuss all true crime things, all paranormal fun stuff. We are on Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Stitcher, really anywhere that you listen to podcasts. But yeah, that was really fun. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. This has been really fun, and hopefully I can have you on again at some point. Or go on your show. I'm just inviting myself, you know.
That's fine. You're welcome anytime.
All right. Well, hopefully I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yep.
This has been the Cursed Tale of Lady in the Dunes, told to us by Kayla of A Little Wicked. For more Cursed content, head over to thricecursedpod.com or find me across social media at thricecursedpod. Until next time. Keep your curses hexy and your hexes sexy.